Good morning and welcome to our worship today here at Water Lane. Welcome to anybody who's listening to the service later and welcome to anybody who's visiting us this morning. The children will be going out to Sunday Kids later. Just a couple of notices. Reminder that it's film club this evening. The film is Darkest Hour, which is about Churchill during the Second World War. There are some notices on the notice board for Up and Atoms events that are coming up, so please have a look at them. There are a few interesting events coming up, so have a look at them and sign up for them if you'd like to join them. Just to add to the notice in the notices about the heartbeat prayer, there will be very little parking at the back of the building next week, so while you'll all be very welcome to come, you probably won't be able to park here, so you'll have to look elsewhere, but you'll be hearing more about that later in the service. Finally, I'd like to introduce to lead our service today the Reverend Philip Peacock, our circuit superintendent from Cheadle Hume, following the introit by the choir.
Some words from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And we do that as we turn to our opening hymn, which is Think of a World Without Any Paintings. We're going to sing verses 3 to 6. That's the sort of central part. And I've partly chosen this because today's Education Sunday. It's been moved from a different part of the year. It used to be in February, but today now is Education Sunday, and this thinks of different things that we might reflect upon when we're thinking about learning and things that we might do. Think of a world without any paintings. We begin in verse 3.
Thank you.
We continue in a prayer. At the end of each section, I'll say, "Wow, God," and the response is, "You blow our minds." Let us pray. Creating God, your universe is incredible. Trillions of stars forming patterns in the sky. Planets circling the sun in orderly ways. Space travel and exploration revealing distant wonders. Wow, God, you blow our minds. Creating God, your earth is incredible. Blazing sunsets painting the sky pink. The pull of the tide washing the beach of yesterday's sandcastles. Spider spinning the most intricate of webs. Wow, God, you blow our minds. Creating God, your people are incredible. Fingerprints showing each person's unique identity. Hearts that beat over 2 billion times. Bones that knit themselves together. Emotions falling as tears or creasing us up in laughter. Wow, God, you blow our minds. Amen. As I said earlier, today's Education Sunday. So I thought in this first part of our service, while we're all together, we might think a little bit about learning. And before we do that, I thought it might be interesting just to ask you if any of you travel long distances in the summer holidays. Have you been on trips by plane, by car, by plane? Have you gone on day trips? Have you been on holidays? Anybody been on a journey, a long journey? Whatever age you are. I went down to Devon as part of my holiday and I spent 9.5 hours getting from here to where I was going. Wonderful journey. But if you are on long car trips or whatever, or plane journeys, what do you do to pass the time? What do you do to pass the time, any of you? Yeah? Sleep? Play. Not if you're driving, hopefully, but anyway, yes.
Play games.
You play games? Right, good. You play games, it helps to pass the time. Anything else? Yes?
Listen to music.
Are there any particular games you play? Are you thinking of games on an iPad or something? Or are you thinking of games that you might do with other people in the car or what?
Games online.
Yeah, okay. Anybody do anything where they interact with other people playing games? Yeah? You all know how to play I Spy, I think, don't you? Yeah, but that's something sometimes people do. One I came across there recently was that you can play a number plate game. Yeah, some of you do that. So you take the last three letters of the registration of cars that pass by, and you try and make something out of them. I mean, my last three letters of my registration are RMO. So I thought, really mad owner. But we can play games, we can do things to pass the time. Well, what I want to tell you about today is a Bible story about somebody who was going on a long journey. And that wasn't by car, it wasn't by plane, it wasn't by train, but it was by chariot. And that man who was driving the chariot, he'd been to a Passover festival in Jerusalem, and he was on his way home to Ethiopia. So that slide shows you where Jerusalem is at the top, and he was going back home to Ethiopia. Now that is 2,500 miles. So goodness knows how long it might take in a car, never mind a chariot. But just think, what do you think he might have been doing while he was travelling on that long journey? Well, he was reading. And when he was reading the Bible. And whilst he was reading the Bible, he came across some words from the prophet Isaiah. And these are the words that he saw. He was treated harshly, but endured it humbly. He never said a word. like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a sheep about to be sheared. He never said a word. He was arrested and sentenced and led off to die, and no one cared about his fate. He was put to death for the sins of our people. Well, this Ethiopian official, he loved God. We can tell that because he was willing to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. But as he was reading the Bible, he was struggling to understand it. And sometimes we all might struggle to understand the Bible. And this Ethiopian official, he must have been quite a bright chap. He looked after Queen Candace's money. So, you know, he must have been good at his school subjects. But he still couldn't understand what was written. He didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus had come, that he died and he'd come back to life again. But God knew that he was in need, that he was in need of help. And so what God did was he sent somebody to help him. And this is the guy who went to help him. His name was Philip, same name as mine. And he went and he found the Ethiopian and he went to explain to him what was written in that passage in Isaiah. And because of that, that Ethiopian's life changed. He came to believe in Jesus. He became to be a Christian. And as I say, his life was quite different afterwards. But reading the Bible and learning about God is something different in some ways from what we learn about at school. Because it's more to do with friendship with God through Jesus than just learning things that we can remember and understand. And in order to get to know God better, one of the things that we can do is to read the Bible. Because the more time we spend reading the Bible, the more we understand things about God, and the better we can come to love him. It's like spending time with friends. The more time you spend with friends, you get to know them better. But Philip did know his Bible really well, and he was able to take that passage that the Ethiopian was reading and to quickly explain to him what it meant. Well, in a way, that passage is quite a challenge to us, because we might think, well, are we brave enough to ask for help when we don't understand something? I know at school, you'll have teachers, you'll have teaching assistants, you'll have your friends who can help you sometimes with the work that you're doing when you don't understand something. But when it comes to the Bible, it's the same in a way. You can look to friends, you can look to others to help you understand it. Who do you think might help you understand the Bible better? God? Well, God can help you understand. That's quite true. Anybody else? Sorry? Ministers? Yeah, Katie, for instance. Yeah, Katie can help you understand things better. Yeah? Who else?
Those around us.
Yeah, those of the other people in the church. Yeah? I thought somebody might say those who lead the young church work or whatever at the back there, you know. But anyway, we can ask people to help. So sometimes when we don't understand the passage, we can ask for help. So that's one challenge. The other challenge is, are we ready to explain, help other people understand what the Bible says? Like Philip, because Philip had learned lots of things and he was able then to help that Ethiopian. So if we get to know the Bible better, if we get to know God better, then we're able to share that with others better. And there's lots of ways we can understand the Bible better. We can read it on our own. We can read it as a family. We can read it with our friends. So that as we get to know those things of God better, we're able to help others. So, that's a challenge for us all. How well do we know our Bibles? How ready are we to spend time learning what it says in the Bible? Learning about God, so that we then can help others. We're going to now sing a song after some prayers. The prayers I'm using this morning are simply related to schools. And when we're saying these prayers, I thought it might be useful for you to just think of children that you know, either your own children and the schools they go to, or your grandchildren and the schools they go to, or you might think of teachers you know who are working in education or others. Just bring to your minds people who are involved in education in one way or another, either learning or teaching. And then I'll just lead a prayer before we sing again together. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for our schools. Thank you for all the teachers, the school staff, every pupil and family who belong to our schools. Thank you that schools are where children can grow, where they can learn and develop to their full potential, becoming the best they can be. And thank you for every Christian who is part of a school, pupils, teachers, parents, helpers, governors, visitors who come in to encourage, support and enrich school life. We pray that each Christian will be able to be salt and light wherever you've placed them. And we pray for the school leadership and management, that you will bless those who lead on the governing bodies with wisdom and vision. And we pray for the spiritual welfare of all children in schools, and for those who lead assemblies, for those who teach religious education. We pray that through the work of schools, something of the Christian message can be passed on to new generations, that we might know more of your love for us this day and every day. Amen. That passage that the Ethiopian was reading related to Jesus. So what I thought I'd do for our next song was to use Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, because that picks up some of the things, partly what that passage about Isaiah was saying about Jesus coming, dying and rising again. Do you have actions to this song? Does anybody want to do some actions? No? Well, I'll do some actions. If anyone wants to come out and join me, I'm quite willing. Do you want me to run through it then before I start? Right, could you put the words up and then I can check? So it's Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. When we say save us, we touch the two palms of our hands to remember Jesus who died on the cross. So if you carry on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, again touch your palms of your hands, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Yeah, something like that anyway. But join it if you want to. Let's sing together. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Thank you.
So as we part in our proceedings, some of us staying within the church and some going elsewhere for your activity, we're going to ask God's blessing on one another by saying the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. This is the question that I'm going to ask you in a moment before we hear our Bible reading. I've been introduced as the circuit superintendent this morning, which I am, for better or for worse. But our circuit is comprised of 12 churches altogether, and I just wondered if you knew the names of the other 11. So just talk together. Just see if you can work out, think of what the other 11 churches might be. Doesn't matter too much. Right, I won't spend too much time on that, but is there anybody here who thinks they could name all of the other 11 circuit churches? We've got one person who can, so I'll ask that person to come and do, well, just speak that out in a moment. Anybody else? Okay then, off you go.
Now on the spot. Right. Okay, start with Lumbo.
Yeah.
Style.
Yeah.
Hill Green, St Mary's, Bramall, GPU, Bramley Green, St Andrews, Northampton.
I think you might have said St Andrews.
Oh yes, Christchurch, thank you.
That's it, there we are. Well done. So those are all of our churches. I mean, the writing's quite small there, but those are our churches, and that's sort of the area that we cover from a map. So we'll come back to that a bit later, but we're going to hear a reading now from Romans.
Reading is from Romans chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 17. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to boast of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to win obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the good news of Christ. Thus I make it my ambition to proclaim the good news, not where Christ has already been named, so that I do not build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him shall see, and those who have never heard of him shall understand. This is the reason that I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, I desire, as I have for many years, to come to you when I go to Spain. For I do hope to see you on my journey and to be sent on by you once I have enjoyed your company for a little while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem in a ministry to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to share their resources with the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do this, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material things. So when I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will set out by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ.
We're going to sing again, this time singing the Faith 492, Christ Be My Leader by Night as by Day. Within this particular hymn, it talks about Christ being our leader in age and in youth. Because we're lifelong learners, we don't learn everything we need at school, and we keep having to learn new things. So I've partly chosen this to reflect that thought, that we're all on this education path together. If I said the word parasite, I presume that you probably have some understanding of what that means. Parasitism is a relationship between two organisms, two different organisms, where one, the parasite, benefits from the other, the host, and that host is normally harmed. But without the host, the parasite cannot grow, it can't multiply, it can't spread. And as part of that, it sometimes spreads disease or brings harm to the host. This particular picture is an apple tree. It's got no fruit on it. I don't know if that's part of the detriment that's being caused to it. But it's covered by mistletoe, Viscum album. And here, the tree is the host, and the parasite is the mistletoe. The mistletoe gains water, it gets nutrients from the tree, and the tree itself, as I said, doesn't look as healthy as it might do otherwise. There's no fruit on it. It may be impacted in all sorts of negative ways. But most of you have heard the word parasite? Yeah? Throwing myself into sort of a bit of science. I'll give you a bit more now. But if I said the word symbiosis, you may not all be as aware of what that means. Some of you probably do. Some of you may well know much more about it than I do. But symbiosis is the living together of two organisms. And that can cover parasitic relationships. But it also can cover relationships between two organisms where both of the organisms benefit as a result of that interaction. When I was doing O-level biology, the example that I was given, I seem to remember, was about bacteria in the gut of a cow. Now, these bacteria, they can't live outside that particular environment. They need to live in that sort of environment, some safe place like that where they can get some nourishment. But they live in the gut of this cow, and They get their safe environment, so that's their benefit. But they can break down certain substances in the gut of the cow that the cow can't do itself. So while they're there, they break down these other substances so the cow gets benefit as a result of them being there. And that's an example of a symbiotic relationship where both benefit. Now, this isn't a picture of a symbiotic relationship because it's not ongoing. But I saw this in the Times on the 4th of August. And we've got here a picture of a jackdaw and a fallow deer. And the jackdaw is removing ticks from the eyes and ears and nose regions of this fallow deer, which it can't easily do itself. And in that process, the jackdaw's having a tasty snack. And the fallow deer no longer has to put up with irritating ticks. But again, a relationship between two animals in this case, where they're both getting benefit from the relationship. That reading we have from Romans referred to the church at Jerusalem and the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem because he'd arranged for a collection to be taken at the new churches in Macedonia and Achaia for the poor church in, well, for the poor in the church in Jerusalem. The poverty of some of those Christians in Jerusalem might have arisen because they'd lost their jobs, because they'd become Christians, because a lot of the jobs were tied up with the Jewish temple, and there was antagonism between some of the Jewish leaders and the early Christians. And so, as I say, some of those Christians might have lost their jobs, and therefore they were poor among that community of Christians. And so what the Christians at Achaia, at Macedonia, were doing, were trying to respond to that need. And so they'd taken up this collection. It was a way of expressing unity, if you like, with the church in Jerusalem. A way of responding to this practical need. And in some ways it was a bit of a way those churches could say thank you to their mother church, as it were. Because they were new churches. And they received spiritual blessings, if you like, from the church going out from its original Jewish context to those who were not Jews. Let me just remind you of that little bit of passage in the reading. It said, Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to share their resources with the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do this, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material things. So we might see that as a bit of a symbiotic relationship, a cooperative relationship, with the message of Jesus going to Macedonia and Achaia from Jerusalem, and money passing back from Macedonia and Achaia to Jerusalem. And yet there were other ways in which those two groups of Christians might benefit from each other. They wouldn't necessarily to be restricted to those things. But at least this gives us one example of benefits going from one church to another. And then benefits flowing back. Presumably you'll have seen groins on beaches. The wooden structures which are built at right angles out to the sea in order to prevent coastal erosion. And in particular to stop the sand washing away. And this first picture of some groins is a picture of some useless groins, if you like, from a beach at Sands End. Where you've got all the posts there, but you've got nothing joining them together. On the other hand, this picture from Hornsea shows you a groin where you've got all the posts connected with the planks between them, and therefore the groins with the planks can fulfil the function that they're there for, to prevent the sand from being washed away. I suppose we might think of these posts as individual churches, or perhaps even individual Christians. In that first picture, we have churches, individuals, rooted perhaps in the sand, feeling fairly strong, but they're unconnected and they're reliant on their own resources. In that second, in this one, we've got the churches joined together, they're connected. And together they're able to carry out a greater function than they could if they were just on their own. Sometimes as individuals, sometimes as Christians, we can try to be too independent. We come sometimes not only not work with others, not only not be cooperative, but sometimes we can be quite damaging too, through the words we speak as individuals or the way we as churches operate. So I thought I'd pause at this point before we think further about this idea of symbiosis and mutual benefit by stopping to share in some prayers of confession. So let us pray. Gracious God, we admit with sorrow that our lives are not holy as you would want them to be. We confess the sin we know and regret the shame we feel. We confess that some of our thoughts have been unworthy, centred on self, such that others have been denied. We confess that some of our words have been wounding, barbed and harsh, twisting deep. We confess that some of our actions have been unfitting, kingdom destroying, love denying. We confess that sometimes we've been silent and still in the face of need, hesitant to give, slow to care. And so we pray that you will forgive what is past, that you will help us to amend who we are and direct who we shall be, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we sing a song which contains within it, "Help us to help each other, Lord." Brother, actually those aren't the right words, just got those wrong off the top of my head. We're going to sing "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You," and in it we talk about helping one another, about walking the extra mile and bearing the load. So we sing 611.
Christ, you.
There'll be a picture displayed, hopefully in a moment, which just will form a backdrop for the rest of this sermon, which is a picture of being connected, if you like. Obviously, earlier in the service, I asked you to think about the other names of churches in our circuit, and those churches which were named are very different in their sizes and the resources that they have. But one of the questions I'm thinking about this morning really is, do we feel and understand that we're connected to those other churches, or do we see ourselves more as being independent? Do we have a picture more of that first groin or that second groin? Independent or connected? Well, if you think you're fairly independent, let me share some ways in which each local church benefits from being part of a circuit. Some of these things some of you will know. But we can think about local preachers, can't we? Local preachers are trained by the circuit, they're overseen by the circuit local preachers meeting, and they fill appointments across our circuit churches, at least four who are preaching today. And without them, we would not be able to sustain weekly Sunday worship in all of our churches. And obviously you have some local preachers here who serve in that way. Or we could think about ministers, because in some ways you might well think your minister is Katie, which is true. But she's actually a circuit minister rather than, firstly, a local church minister. She's appointed by the circuit, not by the local church. And the circuit stewards are those who invite people rather than church stewards to become ministers in a particular place. And thinking of circuit stewards, well, they're there not only to invite ministers, they also have oversight of the ministers' manses, they look after the circuit finances, they're part of the circuit's leadership team, they sit on church councils, they give pastoral support to ministers, they're on circuit management teams for our lay employees, and, well, one or two other things besides. Or if you think about safeguarding, we might think about how the circuit tries to oversee that and make sure that people are trained and informed for those who are working with children and young people or vulnerable adults. Or we can think from a financial point of view, how a lot of our churches just simply could not afford to have ministry in the paid ordained sense if they weren't part of a larger circuit, because most of our churches could not afford to support a minister on its own. And so we share financial resources across the circuit so that we can have ministers not only in affluent areas, but also in ones that are more deprived, ones which are struggling in some ways, where more resources need to be placed. I think sometimes in terms of circuit relationships, local churches sometimes, if they feel fairly strong, may feel that they're part of almost of a parasitic relationship, that their resources are depleted because they're supporting weaker, in inverted commas, churches, and they're not really benefiting that much from themselves. And I can understand, you know, some of that thinking and recognise that it is an issue. But it may be that the loss that a stronger church suffers might be much less than the gains that are obtained in other places. So we have to think quite selflessly, I think, when we're thinking about how resources are shared. But if we go back to those symbiotic relationships, one of the fascinating things to me, in a sense, is the fact that two vastly different sized organisms are involved in that symbiotic relationship that I mentioned to you. When you think about the size of bacteria and the size of a cow, they're quite different, aren't they? Or if you think about the jackdaw and the deer, well, the jackdaw is much smaller than the deer. But those relationships then are still important, and benefit flows both ways. We have larger churches and smaller churches. And it's not for us to think that our smaller churches are failed large churches, because they're not. They're just different. And smaller churches shouldn't feel that they have to aspire to what a larger church is like, because they're not called to be a larger church, they're a smaller church. And there are things that larger churches can learn from smaller churches, as well as benefits which smaller churches can gain from larger ones. It's about trying to share benefits with one another. Now, in a sense, talking about the circuit in that sort of way might implicitly suggest that the circuit is like a separate entity from our local churches. But in fact, it's not. because everyone in each of our churches is also part of the circuit. And our local preachers, our circuit stewards and others in circuit roles come from all of our local churches. But as we seek to be a circuit and try and support one another, we have to have that sort of aspiration to be one of cooperation, working together, that we can find ways in which we can benefit one another, so that overall we flourish. So having said that about the circuit, what I'd like to do now is just promote a few things in the circuit. Some of them, these that you may well be aware of, but things that you could benefit from, and the circuit could benefit from too. For instance, we have circuit services from time to time. And we had one for the welcome of our new minister, the Reverend David Warnock, the other evening at St Andrews. But the next is on the 23rd of September. It's at Cheadlehume and it's going to be a youth-led service. And part of the reason for this particular service taking place is to try and get together young people from the various churches in the circuit so that they can get some encouragement from feeling that they're part of a bigger whole. You know, that they're not totally unsupported, if you like, or don't have people who are similar to themselves in other places. And just coming together as a group of young people is there to try and encourage them. But they've been given this opportunity as they do that to lead a youth-led service. And that particular service is for anybody who'd like to go. It's not just for youth. It'd be good for people to go along and support them in what they're doing. So that's the 23rd of September at Cheadlehume at 6:30 p.m. In your notices at the beginning, we had Heartbeat mentioned, a circuit initiative which has been going about a year, whereby a group has organised prayer sessions which have moved around the different churches of the circuit month by month. And the main prayers for any session are for the host church. But alongside that, we also have prayer requests from the other churches, which are prayed for. I don't know if you've been along to any of these, but if you haven't, and especially as it's coming to Wilmslow on September the 15th at 10:30 p.m, might be problems with parking, but nonetheless, it's still going to happen here. Why not come along and be able to pray for your church here and to pray for the circuit? And as part of that, the hope is that relationships might be built too across the circuit so that we can be mutually supportive and we can learn more about one another and the needs that we have. Then there's the Circuit Theology Book Club, which meets once a quarter. Book clubs are book clubs, aren't they? You know, people read the same common book and they go along and have a group and they talk about it. Well, that's what the Theology Book Club does, but it does so by taking a theological book. And the next one we're going to look at is one by Kenneth Leach, which is called Soul Friend, and it's about spirituality and spiritual direction. But that's going to take place at Bramall Methodist Church on October the 15th at 7:30. But if you like books, if you like to be part of a book club, then this particular thing started out in the local preachers meeting, but it's not just for local preachers. Indeed, other people have come who aren't. But it's a chance for us to learn and to grow and to talk together and learn from one another what it means to be a Christian and think about God together. This year, we're also starting to try and encourage amongst our local preachers and our ministers the thought of taking people from local congregations with them when they conduct a service somewhere else. I don't know if you've picked up on that yet. But the idea is that a local preacher might take one or two people who might like to go with them to a church in another part of the circuit that they don't particularly know, so that they can learn a bit more about that church and possibly contribute to the service in some way by asking a few questions or answering a few questions or saying something, in order to again try to build more of that circuit identity and that caring for each other. So that might be something there that you might think about asking David Allaby or Christine when they're going out to church. You might think, well, I wouldn't mind going to them, and they can obviously initiate a conversation with you, but you can equally, you know, say, well, I wouldn't mind doing that sometime and go with Christine or David, or equally go with Katie to one of Katie's other churches, because she doesn't get too much around the circuit, but she certainly goes there regularly to Stile and St Mary's as well as here. But anyway, a way that we might benefit from sharing in other people's worship. Not all the time, because we don't want to send everybody off, do we? So there's nobody left here. But just a thought. And finally, if you are looking at ways in which to serve Christ and his church, obviously there are lots of opportunities at church level, and I don't want to decry any of those. But if you want to think about serving in the wider circuit, then, you know, let me know or Katie know, or get in touch with one of our circuit stewards, because that might be something you want to explore as part of the way in which that you are able to support the circuit and hopefully gain benefit yourself through that experience, but also obviously helping the circuit to function and therefore carry out some of these roles which I've been talking about. So just to draw this together in a way, that message about Jesus was first embraced by the Jews, and the church at Jerusalem was one of the significant beginning places. Later that message went out to the Gentiles through Paul, through Philip and the Ethiopian official, if you like, so that new churches came to be established in places like Macedonia and Achaia. And those new churches, having received spiritual blessings themselves, responded to that need in the Jerusalem church where there were poor people, and so they gave financially. Symbiosis is the living together of two organisms from which both might benefit. And so as we think about the relationship between a local church in the circuit and the circuit, ideally we have a sort of positive symbiotic relationship as the ideal we aspire to. One where we can give and receive, where we can cooperate with one another, where we can learn from each other as we seek to bear witness to Christ Jesus, through whom we are bound together in love. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer. In our prayers, there may be particular people that you have in mind that you want to say prayers for. As we pray, please feel free in your minds to remember those people. And please also be ready to respond after the words, Lord, in your mercy, with the words, hear our prayer. So we respond to God as we pray. Let us pray. O God of all ages, we pray to you. We want to celebrate life. Life before death. With the hungry and the unemployed. With the homeless and the oppressed. With the sick in body, mind or spirit. We cry out to you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all history, make new the places ravished by war. Renew the people whose hopes have been destroyed. Build up communities divided by suspicion. Reconcile families broken apart by misunderstanding. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. God of the church, reconcile and renew your divided people. May resources be shared to equip your church effectively for ministry and mission. May cooperation rather than competition be prized. May generosity of spirit and sacrificial love be marks of those who seek to serve you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Trinity of love, one God in perfect community, hear the prayers of your children. Let us all come to you with those things that hurt and disturb us. Welcome us with your healing smile. Encircle us with your strong arms. And send us out to serve you in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we draw our prayers together as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We continue our response to God as we make our offering. Generous God, we give you thanks for all that we have received from you. We come to offer you our gifts, not only of money, but also of our lives. And pray that through your love and grace, both may be used to continue the work of Jesus, your work of love in our world. Amen. We sing our final hymn, Lord, You Call Us to Your Service, as a hymn of dedication, and we're going to sing it to the tune which we use for Angel Voices Ever Singing, because that's familiar to us. we go to live and work to God's praise and glory. And may the blessing of God, the Creator, the Saviour and the Enabler, be with us, now and always. Amen.